Bibles and take.
I would like to read a portion in the Old Testament, the 71st Psalm, Psalm 71. Grateful to God once again for the privilege of being with you at 16th Avenue. Brings back many precious memories of being here in the mid-1980s. Welcomed here, brought here by those that many of whom have gone home to be with the Lord, Clem and Phyllis Aiken, Davy and Vivian Jones, and also dear brother Gary Thomas, and nice to see his widow Shirley here again one more time on our pilgrim's journey. Psalm 71 beginning at verse 1. Psalm 71 in all its entirety is a prayer. It is often called the prayer of an aged believer in God in the last chapter of his earthly life. And so let us begin by reading verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many. But thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Slipping down to verse 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Here we see an older believer whose strength is failing. His physical strength is failing, but he would say in this very psalm, I walk in the strength of the Lord God. His physical strength is failing, yes. But that failing physical strength has led him to draw strength from the Lord himself. Yes, he may be weak physically, but he is strong in the Lord. In this last chapter of life, here we see in him the desire of his heart. We saw it there in verse 18, he longs in fervent prayer. This psalm is a prayer, all of it. This older saint of God longs in fervent prayer to influence his own generation for God. And then future generations after his departure for glory. For this desire to be on our lips in prayer in old age. It must have been so throughout the span of our walk with God all along. To those here today, this old man, led by the Holy Spirit, is speaking not only to older saints, but primarily to you, younger saints, perhaps young in age or young in faith in Christ. Those of you who are younger, may the desire of this older believer take root in your relationship with God early on. Look at verse 10 just for a moment. Here is an older man, strength failing. The last chapter, perhaps, of his earthly life. What do we read in verse 10? For mine enemies speak against me. This man is being slandered. And they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. And at the end of verse 13, we see that they seek his hurt. What is it? What is it that makes the life of this aged man with failing strength such a concern to the ungodly? So much so that they are filled with cruelty and hatred towards him, to the point of laying an ambush for his life and doing him hurt. Why? One would think, at first sight, one might say, can you not leave this old man alone? Why is it that he has such enemies? Verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. This is a man who has a personal relationship with the living God in whom he trusts. To have a life which will mark this generation and following generations, you must necessarily be saved by the grace of God in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot have a fruitful life in your own generation and those to follow unless you yourself have first repented of your sin and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, who died for your sins on the cross of Calvary. The writer of Psalm 71 had already made his choice. In thee, in you, in a person, not a religion. He's not looking to his own life. He's not trusting in his good works. In thee, and thee alone, do I put my trust. He had made his choice. And we read in this text that he had made his choice in his youth. But the question is this morning, what of you? Have you trusted in him alone to be your personal Savior? For that is the only starting point to a life that will count for eternity. Is this matter settled in your life? Have you decided for the Lord Jesus Christ once for all? If this old man was simply a religious man, the enemy would not be laying an ambush for his life. They would not be concerned of him to that point. If this man was simply a churchgoer, they would not show such cruelty and hatred towards him to the point that they're plotting together, more than one, to take his life. If he was just but a good, moral, living man, they would not sow such hatred to him. It is because he has a relationship with the living God. And can I just add just a caveat, because I have no other place to put it? It may be that you yourself were converted to the Lord Jesus Christ later on in your life. But that fact does not preclude you from influencing this generation and others for Christ. Bring to mind the dying thief who repented and believed on the Lord Jesus, who was crucified next to him. So very brief. So very brief were the moments prior to this repentant thief going to glory, but the testimony of his faith in the Son of God dying in his place has been spread abroad from generation to generation. So my friend, do not bemoan the fact that you had a late start as a believer in the Lord Jesus. Let Christ mark every day of your new life in him, and see Christ bring forth the richest dividends of his blood's investment in you unto future generations for his glory. It is those who are marked by Christ that leave a mark for Christ. As mentioned, this was not only a man who had a relationship with the living God, but it was a relationship that had grown. He was not simply a man that had an experience 40, 50 years ago, but through that new life of walking with God, he had grown in the knowledge of his God and of his Savior, of his love, of his grace, of his mercy. But a privilege it was for him to have started his spiritual journey in youth. Did you start as where he did? Are you amongst those that even when you were in the womb of your mother, your dear parents prayed for the salvation of your soul? Were you those that were privileged to be not only raised in a Christian home, but taught by faithful Sunday school teachers? You went to youth meetings, to Bible camp. Have you taken advantage of that? The blessing that has been? To you. He says, never let me be put. Never let me be put to confusion. Never let me be ashamed. This is a man that is concerned about the glory of God. He prays that he would never be ashamed, lest he bring shame upon the name of his God. The only person that leaves a mark for Christ in his generation and other generations to come is one that is concerned primarily for the glory of God. Verse number 2, and I will go quickly. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Listen to the verbs. He's an old man at the end of his life, and he's crying out to God, deliver me in thy righteousness. Cause me to escape. Save me. It clearly indicates that this aged believer with failing strength is still very much in the heat of the battle. There's an urgency to the cries of his heart and prayer. It is as though he is besieged on every side. But remember this, O child of God. I do not know. I still think I have 5 minutes, my brother. Am I to finish at 10? Is that the time?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just reading this morning. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Isaiah 54:17. No matter the great number of weapons that are aimed by the enemy against the saints of God, on each and every weapon aimed is found the inscription, it shall not prosper. My friends, can I ask you? I only have a few minutes. Why is the enemy so intent in attacking this old man? I can suggest one reason. They do not want for him to finish well. My friends, I've been traveling for 43 years across Canada and the United States. I say this not boastfully. I have met many people. The people in my generation call me Louis. But I know the second generation. I saw their children grow up. I met them when they were in their high chairs. But now they're into age 40, 45. And that second generation calls me Mr. Boye. And they have had children. That's the third generation. And that third generation doesn't know what to call me. They only say, my parents, my grandparents talk to me of you. And they have had children. My friends, if you remember, my plea to you is this, pray that I would finish well. I have 4 generations looking at me, and that makes me a target. And you have to say, think of how many generations know you, generations even of your workmates, generations of your next door neighbor. That's why the enemy attacks him. They do not want him to finish well. A life that counts for eternity. Can I just share with you? And I'll make it very brief. 3 ways that your life can speak not only to your generation, but the generations to come. 1, your prayers will outlive you. I'm a 12th generation French speaking resident of this continent. My ancestors came to Canada on my father's side and my mother's side in 1640. And 1650, Canada was not even called Canada then. It was called New France then. I'm a 12th generation Canadian from those that landed on the south shore of the St. Lawrence River in 1640 and 1650. And where did they come from? Why did they come to New France? Because many of them were Huguenots, people that had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, people that were persecuted by religious people, as religious people persecuted our Lord. And is it possible that when those people landed on the south shore of the St. Lawrence River in Quebec, there, they prayed individually, corporately. They praised the Lord that He had taken them to a land where they could live out their Christian life freely. But they also prayed that God would bless their testimony to their own generation and to future generations to come. And 12 generations later, the Lord touched my life, saved me by His grace in February 1974. And I may be, because God is eternal. When you pray, your prayers remain before the throne room of God, even after you are translated to glory. Am I the product of someone's prayers for my soul 12 generations ago? Maybe so. Your prayers will outlive you. And this man, right at the end, and he repeats it twice, I will make mention of thy righteousness and of thine only. I will make mention of thy salvation. You want a life that will continue to speak for the glory of God? After He calls you home, preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sow the seed of His word. And years after the Lord has called you home, the Lord will bring about a harvest of souls, of even some whom you do not know by name. Pray. Your prayers will outlive you. Preach the gospel. Preach of the righteousness of God in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, your righteousness alone, there's only one way to God. And so here was this old man, but he was continuing to preach of God's righteousness. And lastly, invest your life. Invest it. You could always find a younger Christian than you. They are here in this assembly. Even if you have known the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps it's but a few years, there may be somebody in this assembly who has known Him as their Savior less than you. I remember years ago somebody said, Louis, whatever God has been pleased to do in your life, don't take it with you to the grave. Invest it in someone. I do not wish in my end to ask you a very personal question, and I do so lovingly and tenderly. In whom? In whom are you investing? What God has been pleased to teach you in 40, 50, 60 years of life. In whom are you investing? And if you are young in the faith and somebody hasn't taken the initiative to come to you to pour out their life in you, then go to them and ask them, to do so, that you might have a fruitful life for Christ in your generation and in future generations to come. This man, he did three things. He continually praised God all the day. Oh, how the enemy hates somebody that praises God all the day. I'll give you one example and then I'll close. Dear brother I met in the United States, I've never met that man when he did not praise God for his goodness, honestly, as God was his witness. The last time I met him, he was praising God with tears streaming down his face. His wife, their adult son, had passed away into the presence of his God on the very same day in two separate hospitals in Charlotte, North Carolina. And there were tears pouring down his face. And he was praising God all the day. All the day is not just made of a sunlight. All the day has night. Right? It has adversity and trials. This was a man who praised God. It says it in the text. He praised God all the day. And it says, I shall praise thee more and more. And what did the man praise God for? He said, oh, Louis, I praise God that when my wife went home to be with the Lord, she did not know, Louis, that our adult son, our only son, had passed in another hospital. And I give praise to the Lord that the son did not know that his mother had passed away. Praise be to God. He giveth and he taketh away. A man like that, that praises God in all circumstances of life, leaves a mark for Christ in his generation. That man there left a mark in my life. He has gone home to be with the Lord now. And whom am I speaking to this morning? You do not know this man, but is his life not speaking to everyone in this place? Is he not speaking to other generations, even though he's with the Lord? Though dead, still he speaks. But you can never speak in death unless you have lived for him in your life till your last breath. And that is, my dear friends, now in my last chapter of earthly life, I do not know. Do not wish to be melodramatic about it. Do not know if I'll be back at 16th Avenue. I will be here if the Lord purposes it. Amen. My life belongs unto him. But the desire of my heart in this last chapter of my earthly life is what that man expressed. Now that I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Oh, he's not afraid that God will abandon him? No, God can never abandon his own. Forsake me not. Be with me. Help me every moment until I have showed. The word showed there means to declare by manifesting it, to speak by manifesting it in your life, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to every other generation to come. That is my life verse till I take my last breath. By the grace of God, and may he keep me faithful, that I may finish the race well. For the one who willingly, lovingly laid down his life for me. Father, I pray that reading at least a few verses in Psalm 71 would encourage someone to go over it, to plumb it, to dig deeper in it, especially if they are younger in faith, that they may look at this man who finishes the race well. May it encourage them in the strength of their God to do the same, to manifest through their life the strength, the life-changing power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, transforming us, changing us into the likeness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. One day we shall awake with his likeness. Yea. Oh, praise be to God. But it is our longing, Lord, that we might be more like Christ every day, so that people can see that, so can see that salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is real, that it's not a religion. It is Christ living in us and through us, his resurrected life. Oh, we long to live lives, oh Lord Jesus, that are no longer our own. We only have one life, and it is not ours. It has not been purchased with silver and gold, but with thy precious blood. We desire to live every moment of our life in a manner worthy of our high calling in Christ Jesus. May that be so, and may thou be glorified through it. In Jesus' name, amen.